Hey there, this is Rich Pav from www.horofromjapan.com. I'm real out of practice, so bear with me.
I'm in Shinjuku tonight. Walk down the street because it sounds very, very Japanese. Decided to do a little bit of shopping. So, got a lot of stuff to talk about. So I guess the big question is, why did I stop podcasting and am I going to start again? The answer to why I stopped is because I started to realize that the stuff that I say can really, you know, can come back and haunt me someday. There's a lot of personal stuff that I talked about that you know, somebody could take the wrong way. I don't have anything nasty to say about anybody, but you know, people could take stuff the wrong way, and it can get me in trouble. Or you know, it's out there. My name's on it, and anybody who knows me through work. Or, like, say, for example, if I apply for a job, all this is out there. And I just have to be careful what I say. And, you know, the best thing for your career is to keep your mouth shut. So that's the reason for that. And if I can figure out a way to do a podcast that's not, you know, just me speaking off the top of my head, I'll do it. One idea I have for a podcast is for me to interview people in Japanese. So, just like I speak with my kids, I would speak in English, and the person I talk to would be someone who's bilingual and speaks Japanese natively, and we would have a conversation in both languages at the same time. And we would word the conversation so that if you speak either language and you want to learn the other language, then you'll be able to follow along and learn from it. There's a lot of podcasts out there for learning language, and they're just not my thing. I don't like learning language from what do you call it? Stuff that's specifically for learning language, because the conversation is based around like a grammar topic or some sort of situation. And it's a contrived conversation. I think it would be much more interesting to learn either English or Japanese in a natural kind of way, you know, just in regular conversation, and then you use that conversation as sort of like a curriculum. So you really don't know what the lesson's going to be until the conversation is over. But, you know, that's the way that you learn language naturally. And also, so that would be me not having to walk around talking to myself, which I'm not real, I don't know, I just don't like doing it, personally. You know, I feel really guilty about not podcasting, because I know a lot of people enjoyed it, especially the people who are blind and can't, you know, watch my videos. I feel like I'm outcasting them. And it's just, you know, it's just not nice to do. So where do we start? Okay, do I start from now and go backwards, or? Well, first thing. When we left off back in February, I was having problems sleeping or staying awake or whichever one you want to call it. And I did a sleep, what do you call it, not an experiment, but I went to a sleep clinic and got all wired up to see if I had sleep apnea. And I was, between the time I did the the exam, whatever you call it, and the time that I got the results, I had never been more worn out and tired and sleepy all the time in all my life. And I started to think, you know, am I psyching myself out? Is this all psychosomatic? Because there was really no reason for it. Turns out it was. You know, I was thinking all the time how sleepy I felt, that I was making myself sleepy, sort of like hypnosis, I guess. You know, you're getting sleepy, you're getting sleepy. So basically, after I found out I didn't have sleep apnea, walking past a pachinko parlor, I stopped being so sleepy all the time. And then I got into programming. I had to start programming or building a new website. The foreign guy selling something there in the street corner. What are you selling?
CDs, my music.
What kind of music?
Alternative progressive rock. Like King Crimson, Pink Floyd, Genesis, this kind of stuff.
Interesting.
You want to check it out?
Would you like a couple thousand people to listen to one of your songs?
Are you a DJ or?
Podcaster.
Broadcasting.
Yeah. Do you know what podcasting is?
What is it?
Podcasting.
Podcasting. Yeah. You have a website or something?
Yeah.
With music. What's the name?
It's called Hero from Japan.
Hello from Japan?
Yeah.
Cool.
But it's H-E-R-R-O.
What is that mean?
Hero. Sort of like the Japanese get their R's and L's mixed up.
Oh, I see.
So it's Hero from Japan.
Oh, I see.
So I have a couple of thousand listeners, and they're actually listening right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So what's your name?
My band's name is Audio Monastery.
Audio Monastery.
Yeah.
And you perform in Japan?
Yeah, I got a recording studio in Yamanashi, Kawaguchiko.
Interesting.
If you like the music, write me, and okay. I have more CDs also, like, you know, which I produce.
Okay. If the people listening like your music, is there a way for them to buy it from overseas?
You know, I didn't put my music on the website yet too, for sale. I'm just preparing for it. I'm producing CD, which I want to like sell through the internet.
Okay. Are you going to sell through iTunes or something like that?
iTunes?
iTunes is the software you use to put music on an iPod.
You know, actually, I need to be prepped for this.
All right. Let me give you my card.
Yeah, maybe. My music actually is, I was a monk for a long time.
Wow.
So I'm sort of like outdated in terms of technology.
Okay. Well, let me help you out. Actually, I've been helping out a lot of artists. I've been walking around Tokyo talking to myself into a microphone.
Oh, really?
And a couple of thousand people listen to it every week. Just giving like sound seeing tours.
Oh, that's great. That's a fantastic idea.
Yeah. And when I meet up with a musician, I get one of their CDs, I play a sample of the song, and then people, you know, if they like it, they buy it.
Great. Yeah, please take a CD.
Okay, thank you.
Give me some kind of name card if you have.
Yes, I will.
And then I can, you know, sometime in the near future, I can, let's say, send you email or...
Okay.
You do this like... this is like some kind of like... you do it, you know... This microphone is... your radio station is where?
No, my radio station is in my pocket.
It's right there. Oh, yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, that's even more interesting.
So how long have you been in Japan? You were a monk for a while.
About 12 years.
Okay. I have you beat. I've been here 15 years.
I'm going to Japan. I'm going to India also, you know, every year.
Wow. You know what? I don't have a card, but your email is on the CD.
Can you do that?
Yeah.
Because I have another CD which are quite professional, and I'm working with a little bit famous people, you know, from jazz scene.
Okay.
From Mahavishnu Orchestra on musician. And I don't know if you know Mahavishnu Orchestra.
No.
Joe McLaughlin. What kind of music you like?
All kinds. I don't listen to the radio anymore, so I'm just looking for new music, really.
That's great. That's great.
A lot of people are doing that. A lot of people are so sick of
it. I live in Yamanashi. I want to be totally independent, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm doing this kind of thing because I don't want to go to the recording label and get hooked up on art directors and all this kind of, you know.
There's a lot
I was a monk for too long to get into this.
So what song, are these long songs?
They're progressive songs, yeah. So some of them are very short, some of them are like 5 minutes.
Okay.
4 or 5 minutes.
What song would you recommend I play so people can sample?
Track number 3, maybe.
Number 3.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll play number 3 right now.
Really?
Yeah. Here's great. Number 3. We'll be right back.
will. I promise.
Because
I, will.
I really need sort of a little help to understand how it works on the internet.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Glad to help you out.
And I can, you know, supply with me. I can invite you. We have like in Yamanashi. I'm producing yoga school in Yamanashi, and my partner. I don't know. Maybe you know him, Jake. He's architect from New York. He's quite known around here. In
you think all white guys know each other?
No, but he's you know, he's sort of like a well known around, you know.
Oh, I'm not. Okay,
Jake Jacobs.
All right.
He's a you know, so we creating some kind of art community, you know, in close to Mount Fuji, and we have some event space for parties, for events, for concerts.
Interesting.
So if we have something bigger, then you can maybe come.
Okay. What's your name?
Radhika.
Radical.
No, Radical is... My name is Radhika. It sounds good.
Radhika.
Yeah.
Radhika. But you're Radical.
Nice to meet you.
Okay, nice to meet you.
I appreciate it.
All right. Well, that was interesting. That's the second time in 2 weeks that I've come across an independent artist performing. Well, he wasn't performing. He was just in a cross... in a crossroad of a back alley trying to get people to buy his CDs by handing out to them. Maybe they could be blank for all they know. Interesting. Well, I got a free CD. Yeah, what the heck was he talking about? I have no idea. I started developing a website. And it's been a few years since I've done any web programming. Mostly... The stuff that we need for work, you know, you can take something that's open source and just modify it a little bit and make it work to what we needed to do. So I haven't been actually programming from scratch. I've just been modifying stuff that's already out there. And I had to learn a lot of different technologies from scratch. CSS and JavaScript and Ruby on Rails and all of the stuff that you need to know to put the application on the web. And I thought it would take, you know, just a few months, take a month or two to learn the technology and then take another month or two to do the developing. And it's just been that I've been working nonstop since February, sleeping in the office once or twice a week, working till late at night trying to get it to work. So I really can't justify spending a lot of time on podcasting when I've got so much to do at work, and also especially because my boss works so hard that I really can't complain about me working hard. So I've been spending all my time learning stuff that I probably should have started learning a long time ago. And so I put podcasting off to the side. And to tell you the truth, it's just the thought of podcasting kind of makes me anxious because I'm worried about, you know, who's actually going to listen to this. If I knew every person who listened to my podcast, if, you know, if they were all friends, I would have no problem doing it. But, you know, or if I could, you know, sort of not make the podcast completely public, then I would definitely do it. Because, you know, there are a lot of people that I know who know well who listen to the podcast. But, you know, it's the people that I don't know that kind of worry me. So one thing I want to start doing is trying to figure out a way to make money off the podcasts. I'm really not into doing podcasts. I'm more into doing video. I enjoy it a lot more. And it's also relevant to work because we're going to be start putting up videos of clients, training videos, stuff like that. So the practice that I get making my videos is related to work, so I don't feel too guilty about it. But just, you know, putting these podcasts together, and there's no, to me, there's no benefit, but there's a whole lot of risk. So I'm just walking around in circles right now. Passing by a video game store. Both my kids started getting into video because since I bought a new HD DV camera, we have the old camera that's slowly dying that I can let them use and not worry about it too much. So I've put up a couple of videos from them, and they really like to see how many people watched it. Like the first one that I put up last week that Andy made, over 800 people have watched it, and he's pretty happy about that. So Tony, the older kid, can't be outdone by his little brother, so he made a video, and he's really closely watching the hit count because he wants it to see it go over Andy's. And I'm glad that they're getting into video, because it's something that we can do together, and it's not playing video games. Both of my kids are really, really getting into video games. Tony finally got his PSP, and he's becoming a bit antisocial, playing PSP all the time. My wife has a great way to keep him from playing the PSP too much. He can play it as much as he wants, but he can only charge the battery twice a week on Thursdays and Sundays. So when the battery's dead, his playtime's over. And it's good to have your kid really interested in something because, well, it's kind of nasty, but you can use it as leverage. He's got to get his homework done before he can play the PSP, so you get him to get his homework done. I think I'm going to start making a rule that if they want to play games on my computer, they have to do it in English. Andy loves there.com. It's a virtual world, sort of like Second Life, but it has community standards, so it's, well, PG rated. You know, you're not going to see anybody flying by butt naked, and there's nobody having sex, nobody having cyber sex. So he likes to just drive around in cars and fly and make his avatar wear underpants and nothing else, maybe a hat. And it's pretty safe because he can't read, and he can't talk to anybody. So and he's pretty happy just doing stuff on his own. So I don't mind him playing that, and I'm in the room with him at the same time, so he's not going to get in any trouble. And Tony, on the other hand, the older kid, the 9-year-old, likes games where you shoot people in the head. So he's really into, what's it called? Not Doom. Halo. He's into Halo, and he's into Second Life, or not Second Life, Half-Life. And I play that with him. We play it together. And we do the puzzles, and there's a lot of stuff to talk about. But I don't want them to be in front of the computer all the time. So I think we're going to try to make videos on the weekends, just go out and find something interesting. Teach them how to make a story with video. So, you know, if there's any way you can give them feedback that they can understand, it'll probably motivate them to do even more. Now, the thing is, I can't put subtitles on all their videos because there's too much Japanese. It'll take me hours and hours. So I have to figure out a way to let them make their videos, probably mostly in Japanese, and probably do like sort of, a director's commentary kind of thing, either a separate podcast where the audio of the video is playing in the background and I'm explaining what's going on. And I think that might be the best way, because then the people who are blind can also follow along Or I could put out each video twice and the second one has a video commentary. Nah, I don't know if I want to do that. That's a lot of bandwidth. Or I could put the video out once and have the audio from the video in the left channel and me giving the commentary in the right channel. And you can maybe watch it twice with just one earbud in. You know, switch earbuds. So I'm thinking I'm going to try all three ways and see which one seems to work the best. Now, speaking of videos, I have enough videos now to put a DVD together. And I'm putting one together for my parents because I don't know if they've seen all the videos yet. So I was thinking I might as well make the DVD available to other people too if they're interested. And I figure $10 for the video is about fair. If I just put the videos on that I already have and don't put too much work into it, just make it look good, $10. Now, I don't know how many people might be interested in paying more for something a little bit better. Like, for example, I have a lot of video that I've shot, but I haven't edited, and I haven't even, you know, said that I've shot. So I might have an enhanced version with some videos that haven't been put out on the internet, and then make that say $20. And then that way, like, I don't expect to get rich. I don't expect to sell a whole lot of them, but at least I can start to recoup some of the money I've put into this. Spent a lot of money on microphones and equipment, and also time. And really, if I was really, really into podcasting, if I got something out of it that I felt like I needed, I guess the people who podcast are people who really need a lot of attention, and I don't. I'm totally okay with being alone. I'm totally okay with not drawing too much attention to myself, which makes me wonder sometimes why I even started podcasting. So there's got to be some sort of benefit from it for me, because obviously there's a benefit for other people. So I need to figure out some way to make money off of this. I'm gonna redo the blog, add Google Ads, and try to figure out a way that I can add advertising. So yeah, I'm gonna sell out, but not too badly. Speaking of selling out, I don't know how many people have seen this yet, but the guy who did the original lip syncing to Numa Numa, Gary Boersima or something like that. He did the video. It became wildly popular, and he disappeared for almost 2 years, I guess. Well, he's reappeared. I saw him first on Rocket Boom videocast a couple of days ago, a couple of weeks ago. And I don't know who got to him, but there's this heinous new website called numanuma.com. It's a complete sellout, and he has a new video out where he tries a little too hard. I hope he's getting a lot of money from selling out, because he really made an ass out of himself. You know, the first video he did was I don't know, I guess the word is endearing, and it was so popular because it was just very heartfelt and natural. And his new video that's on YouTube is quite forced, and he's trying a little bit too hard. I hope that doesn't happen too much. It's a shame. The one video cast that I really, really want to plug, because I love it, it's my favorite show, you know, on the internet or on TV, it's just my favorite show, period, is The Show with Z Frank, Z-E-F-R-A-N-K. Go to Z-E-F-R-A-N-K.com or subscribe to it in iTunes. And I'm trying to think of a way to describe it. I guess if I were a reporter for USA Today or something like that, I would probably describe him as a mix between Robin Williams and Jon Stewart. But he's not like that at all. He is very talented, extremely intelligent, well-spoken, irreverent. And I look forward to watching his podcast or his videocast every day. This guy should have, if anyone, should have a multi-million dollar contract and have a much bigger audience than what he has. So definitely check him out. He's one of the few people in this new medium that justify the existence of the medium itself. There are a lot of video blogs and podcasts out there by people who are trying to imitate the old media, or people that are just doing it without any sort of, I don't know, talent, frankly. And, you know, they're free to do it. There's no problem with that. But there's a handful of people out there who have just a special kind of talent that could only be taken advantage of in this new medium. And Zay Frank is one of them. I would say a couple other people like that. I would say P.W. Fenton from Digital Flotsam. There's the guy who does the Sayanachi. He's a writer, and he does skits on his podcast that are excellent. And there are people who, you know, like Mark Nemkov Yoshimoto, or Mark Yoshimoto Nemkov, who are good at what they do, but it's pretty much the same thing that you would hear on the radio. But he does it well. So, I think that about covers it. Waiting for the light to change to go to the train station. That's about enough. I don't think I'm going to be doing a whole lot of podcasts anymore. I think I'll just probably stick to video, because that's what I enjoy. I know a lot of people enjoy the podcast, and I feel bad about that. But I just, you know, like I said 10 times already, I'm just not really that much into podcast. Sorry to say. All right. Well, keep an eye on the blog, because I do update the blog. And I will keep putting out videos when I find something worth putting out. And maybe I'll do podcasts of musicians that I meet on the street, because there's definitely a market for that. So, yeah, that's it for now. So, talk to you later.